Welcome back in to the Mornings with Box 2 Radio Network. We're in here for our last segment of the morning. We've got brother Waleed on with us, no stranger to the broadcast at this point, brother. It is such a joy to have you on and a blessing you are to the kingdom of God. Brother Waleed, how are you doing this morning?
Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Thank you. I'm trying to stay in my seat after hearing that song. What a fantastic worship song.
Oh, lead on, Good Shepherd, right?
Yes. Hallelujah. Yep. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Aaron. Good to be here with you all this morning.
Well, it's like I said, it is great to have you. It's always a joy to have you. Enjoyed our conversations with you so much, and so many others have said the same thing. So, Brother Waleed, share an update about just how you're doing in life before we get into our topic of the morning, but how's things going for you in ministry and life?
Thank you. It's been well, always humbling, just fighting the good fight of faith. Paul said it's a good fight, pressing into his presence, into the word of God, where our strength, our joy, and our hope remains. Pushing out, you know, been pushing out more digital evangelism. That's going into many different platforms. And it's a lot of work. I didn't realize it's quite that much, but it's worth it as we're getting the gospel out in a big net. And the locally here, the young people, the hunger I'm seeing in young people today is absolutely mind-boggling. The young people, what I used to see, like I'm in the prisons, in the jails, at the youth detention centers, where I set up chaplaincy and groups to go in from the area and go preach the gospel and disciple some of these young people, get them plugged in churches. What I used to see, the level of involvement, I'd see an 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and everything is hyper-speed. I'm seeing 13, 14, 15-year-olds indulging in things that they would have much later in life. It's like a hypersonic speed towards sin.
Mm.
But it's causing a deep desperation and hopelessness. So many of them are so young, and then they're locked up, they're incarcerated, and they're like, what happened? I didn't see that part in the video game, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of a detachment from reality, but there's such a hunger against the backdrop of so much secularization in our country. Just the other day, I had two people coming by the house to, you know, we had a big storm come through, the storm chaser guys that preached the gospel for 45 minutes. One guy's keeled over in his truck. The other guy's breaking under conviction. The young man came out to church. He's been coming since. A 20-year-old, he had never held a Bible in his hand.
Wow.
He's never heard the gospel message in his life. He's never been a day to church in his life. The other one was a backslider. But I'm seeing that almost everywhere I go. Anywhere we're willing to open our mouth. I don't know as much in the South. I think it's growing down there, too, and in a more secularization in many ways. But that's my opinion. But there is such an openness among the teenagers and young people. If we would just go out and open our mouths for Jesus and share the gospel, share our story, people are so open to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Brother Waleed, I will say as many times as you've been on with us now, which is probably three or four or five times, we've never heard your conversion story yet. So how about you tell us about, you know, how you was born again and when that happened and, you know, what the Lord did radically, and just share your testimony, because there's power in testimony.
Man, you're so right. Especially these days, man, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know you've heard that.
Yes, sir.
It's very true, and for me, I did not really grow up in church. My father was a backslider. He was a PK in Israel, on the coast of Israel. We were Palestinians who became born-again Christians in the early 1900s. My grandfather was a pastor, ordained minister with the Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee, walked with Jesus for 50 years, prayed for us for over 30, me and my brothers. He came to faith in Christ in the early 1900s through American missionaries. Thank the Lord for those who went and preached the gospel to other countries. And so for me, you know, at 16 to 18, I was an international drug dealer. My family never raised me that way. We grew up going to church a little bit as kids, but that's about it. My father was a backslider and really did not raise us in the knowledge of the word that he knew. He was chasing the American dream, a very nice man, a very good father, just never gave us the gospel. But the Lord had another plan and purpose of calling us all back to himself. So I'm extremely grateful for his mercies that never let us go and keep pursuing us. And even my dad, who came back to Christ at the age of 71, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had a brother who was a D1 basketball player. He was a leading scorer in high school and in the county, so he had a lot of scholarships and flew out to California to talk with UCLA. And he came back shortly after talking about Jesus Christ. And you have to understand my culture and my mindset. You know, you see it in Israel now, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's not working, folks. People are just going to keep going back and forth and killing each other. And that's not the solution. Of course, we know Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is the solution. And that's certainly what happened in my life when I encountered the presence of Christ. That peace just came all over me, and my desire to love my enemies was immediate. And to see souls saved, to see Jews saved, come to Christ, I wanted to preach the gospel to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, by the grace of God. But what happened is I flew 3,000 miles. My brother came back talking about Jesus, and in my mindset, I'm like, who did this to my brother? Who did this to my brother? This is not for real, man. Okay, we're cultural Christians, but this is for weak-minded men. This is not for a real man. Who touched my brother and messed up his head like this? There has to be retribution. So I, at 18 years old, got on a plane, flew 3,000 miles to Los Angeles to find a street preacher to avenge him and to kill him. I was on a mission of murder, in all honesty, and that's what I was going to do, full of hatred, very likely demon-possessed or under the demonic influence at capacity. I remember walking through doors and not feeling anything, never breaking a stride. So there was demonic power on me for sure. And I searched a two-mile radius. I set up a stakeout in an area called Westwood. In the 80s, that was a very prominent place to hang out in L.A., the spot, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked the blocks every day on my mission to find this street preacher who I thought converted my brother. After 2 months, that was my first encounter with the power of God in my life. I had found him at about midnight on a Friday night. He's preaching. You can imagine the crowds. He was a bold young man, probably a couple years older than I was, holding a Bible, and here's a demon-filled Palestinian getting ready to come kill him. And everything turned black. I remember everything turning black, and I didn't want to use weapons. I said, I'm going to kill him with my bare hands. I want the pleasure of ripping him apart. And as I charged him, and everything's black, whatever I walked between, I felt nothing. And as I got about 8 feet away from him, and it's like I ran into a stone wall, and I literally bounced. And up to that point at 18, I've had a few near-death experiences in some very violent situations. So I knew what it meant to be scared. I knew what fear was. But I literally bounced back, and in that moment, it's like God squeezed my soul and jacked me up. And then immediately I knew I was not opposing a man anymore. It wasn't these Christians who were interfering with my family's born-again Christians. It was my beef was with God, and I was opposing God. and it rattled the very core of my soul and shocked me. I was stunned and dazed. I came back from California. My mission had failed. My dad said, "Son, are you done out there?" He knew I was up to something. I told him I was going to go look at colleges. He said, "Your mom's crying every night. She's worried about you. Are you coming home?" I said, "Yeah." Came home. First week on campus, these two little Christian guys come up to me and want to share the gospel. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I think my brother became one of you guys. That's how I used to talk, one of you guys. And they said, "We want to talk to you about Jesus." And I said, "I'm not ready for all this." And they had good discernment. They said, "Can we leave you with this?" And they left me with a gospel track 18 inches away from heaven. And I remember reading that. I would have never accepted that or let anyone actually approach me with anything like that. I would have been too edgy and too jumpy and quick to hit somebody, you know, who would come up on that close to me without getting permission. That's how we used to roll. I had guys around me, and that's how it was. That's how life was for me as an 18-year-old. And we were absolutely crazy, and this false sense of power that worked off of fear. But I didn't know that what was possessing me was actually fear. You know, it's a false self-confidence in the wrong thing. And I had seen my brother's life change. I had a lot of questions. I couldn't deny somehow God touched my brother. And I've had cousins. You know, there was protocol. You never make fun of each other. It was like one big family, and we were all very tight. And some of them started to, you know, make fun of my brother. Now he's a converted Christian. Oh, he's going to turn the other cheek and this and that. And all my older cousins, I would have never disrespected them. These are guys who were tough guys. I was the young one, but crazy. And I say, yeah, you can say what you want. We're in America. It's a free country, but I can also respond how I want. So I put a gun in my hand and I say, "What are you going to say about my brother?" So kind of like Peter. Peter, trying to defend the Lord with the sword. I started moving in that direction. I saw my brother's life. Somehow God somehow touched my brother, and he's changed. And I didn't want anyone saying nothing about him. I knew I was still a sinner living for the devil. My brother would share with me, "You can't have two masters." He'd show me that passage in the Gospels. It would tear me up. But it was my language. Jesus said, "You are either for us or against us. You can't have two masters. You're for me or against me." I was like, wow, Jesus is a gangster, man. I understood that, but it killed me because it meant I was against him. And I had been reading the Bible some. I understood that Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. He came to save me. And it killed me that I was his enemy. You know, I was rejecting him. I wouldn't let him into my life. And I understood that, and it really tormented me. And mm-hmm. I started having questions, and the three questions I had is Jesus really who he said he was? Because I looked at all the world religions, and only one person said, "I am God." If you've seen the Father, "I and the Father are one."
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jesus claimed to be God. And what about the Bible? People say it has contradictions. Is it really God's word? And then what does it mean to be born again? What's it mean? And these three things were haunting me. And I literally set my studies aside. I was up to 8 hours, sometimes 16 hours a day. I'd spend 3 weeks, and I started going between Catholic catechism and the scriptures, because I was going to CCD classes also. Catholic catechism conversion classes, because I was looking for answers. The hole in my heart was just growing and growing. I was getting empty. I was getting more desperate about my sin and trying to deal with it and answer it through religion. It wasn't working. Then I started really looking at Jesus himself directly, and that's when things started becoming more real to me. I started seeing that Jesus is God. And he backed it up through the resurrection. I started looking at the resurrection historically. It got my attention. I looked at the scriptures, and I looked at the prophecies, and I said, oh my goodness, this is the Bible's as much of a miracle as the resurrection. And then what does it mean to be born again, spiritually born from heaven? God wants to live inside of me. God wants my life. He wants me to surrender to him. And he wants to be my boss. He wants to come and live in my heart and take control. And that was the struggle, because now I had to give up control. And that was a real battle. I was like, I didn't want to be a hypocrite and say I love Jesus. I didn't respect hypocrites. I didn't respect Christians who would say they're all in with God and live lives contrary. You know, I had no regard for them. I was, my reaction was always not good. And but I'd call them out. You know, being a man under, I was under conviction. God was drawing me, and I got to a place where I didn't care anymore. You know, I didn't care about girls anymore. I was the last holdout. I said, I just need to be right with God. I don't care if you still have me, Lord. And I really dealt with, like Peter, when he saw the Lord, you know, at the Sea of Galilee, and he pulled the fish in, and his response was, depart from me. And he called him Lord. He recognized who he was. He said, I'm an evil man. And I really dealt with that. I had done so much evil and hurt so many people, been in some very bad situations, man. And I was like, Lord, if you still are willing to forgive me, you still want me, I'll give you every part of my life if you still have me. And I just want to be right with you. There's nothing in this world I want. I just want you, God.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I came out of my last meeting. I had a meeting with a regional archbishop. This is a little bit funny, but I'm embarrassed, but it's true. And where I grew up in Rockville, Maryland, there's a lot of Catholic churches, so I had a lot of questions. I mean, I used to dunk my face. I was a boxer back then and training 2 a days. And I'd go into the sanctuary at the Catholic churches, and they'd be open in the morning, and I'd just dunk my face in the water, the holy water, and it did nothing for my sin at all. But one day, I rode my bike to another Catholic church, a big one up the road I'd never been to. I went into that sanctuary, huge place, and they had the big Bible up there in gold. Hallelujah, the lights are flashing, no one get near it, you'll go to jail. And I went up there, and sure enough, I looked around, I just went right up to that altar, and it was open, I kid you not, to Ephesians chapter 2. And I read verses 1 through 9. You're not born. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. It's by faith and grace alone. Man, I was like, why aren't they telling me this? That's it right there. You know, and I had one last meeting with a regional archbishop. They called him in, set up a meeting. And this is a true story. I sat across the desk of this man, and I'm under conviction. I'm not sleeping at night. I am scared of going to hell.
Yeah.
I'm seeing my wickedness for what it is, and I'm desperate here. And this man's telling me the love of God is already inside of me. Now, my reaction to that is, does this guy think I'm stupid? I'm going to reach over the desk and hit him in the mouth here in a second. And but he has a collar on, man, and I'm already in trouble with God. I'm going to hit a priest. I'm like, this is ridiculous, man. I got to get out of here for his... Because when I got mad, when I got offended, I would hit you. I would respond violently because I felt like you're disrespecting me. And I didn't care who you were, honestly. And there was that mean streak for sure. And now I'm getting ready to hit a priest, man. So I said, I got to get out of here. And I said, let me ask you something. How come when I asked my brother a question, he just shows me what the Bible says? You haven't showed me one passage in the Bible today, sir, all due respect. And you're a priest. What's going on here? Do you think the church is going to save me? Or is Jesus going to save me? I was like, man, I'm done with you guys. This is it. I left the office. I stormed out of there. Thank you for your time, and I'm out of here. Called up my brother. I said, man, I'm done with these Catholics, bro. I'm not trying to offend anybody out there. If you're our Catholic, we're saved by grace and the atoning blood of Jesus. No church is going to save us. No other mediator between God and men except the man Christ Jesus. And he loves you. And the Bible says we must be born again. And that's not through water baptism. It's through faith in Christ. and what he did for us that we could never do for ourselves. And I came to understand that. The church, it's not Jesus plus the church. It's not Jesus plus the sacrament. It's not Jesus plus anything.
Mm-hmm.
I got out there. I was ticked off. I called my brother who lived in Virginia. I said, man, can you bring me a Bible? I'm done with these Catholics. He's cracking up on the other line. Only your brother can really understand you sometimes when you're crazy like that. And I said, hey, can you find me can you find me a pastor who has enough guts to say what the Bible says and not worry about the faces of men? I said, man, there's a whole lot of sissies in the pulpit. That's what the words I use. And I'm done with that. Just find me a real man of God somewhere, please, where he's preaching the Bible. And he said, it's not as easy as you think. And he told me later on, he prayed, he found the church. I went up there. 2 weeks later, I got born again.
Hmm.
And the pastor, actually, out of 500 people, came and nailed me right after the service. I don't remember one thing he preached on. I was just waiting for the altar call. Man, God was reeling me in. And that began my relationship with God, man. I went to the altar. I said, Lord, please. I mean, honestly, that passage my brother shared about you can't have two masters. The day I went to get saved, I stood up to go to the altar, and something slammed me right in my chair. I was like, why is this so hard, God? I'm coming to give my life to you. What is it? And I saw, I've only had three visions in my life. I'm 58 years old. That was the first. And God, in his mercy, let me see. I was bowed in front of the devil on my knees with chains on my ankles and chains on my wrists and bowing in front of Satan. And the Lord just let me see that that's your life. And I said, no more, no. And mm-hmm. soon as I hit the aisle and just turned forward, those chains snapped, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just going to the altar, praise God. And I went to the altar and just said, Lord, don't ever let my pride get in the way of me knowing you again, serving mm-hmm. you. And that was it, man. Immediate freedom, man. And immediate love, immediate, man. Just never been the same. And it's like yesterday, as you all know. Hallelujah. That's what happened. And if he can save my life, he can save anybody. There's no hole too deep. There's no distance too far. Psalm 139 says the darkness and the light are the same to God. He's not intimidated. It's all the same. Light and darkness. So whatever someone's situation is, God will come and shine the light of his love through the gospel of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and bring illumination to that dark place, man, that light that shines in a dark place. And that's what happened to me. He came into my darkness and he broke the chains of Satan's control and bondage and set me free. And I thought being a Christian was going to be the most boring life, man. I've been over, I don't know how many countries in the world preaching the gospel, seeing thousands come to Christ, seeing blind eyes open, legs, crippled people walking, hallelujah, and souls set free, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, man. I'm so excited. I can't contain myself.
Hallelujah.
I'm just weeping over here, thinking about the goodness of God and how many people need that love today and how many are so bashful and ashamed to come to the cross, thinking Jesus is some ogre and just wanting to beat them down, and he just says, I love you. Hey, someone's listening to us right now, Aaron, and they just need to know God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. You backslid. You gave up your virginity, whatever it is. Just return to God. Don't let the devil beat you down anymore. He loves you. His arms are open wide. It's not too late. That's the lie of the devil. The Father would not tell you that. He loves you, and he's calling you back to himself. And there's nothing you messed up that would deviate his plan and purpose for you. He wants to use you. I don't care if it's a mother who's listening, a pastor right now who's struggling. God loves you. Mm. Just get up. Grab his hand. Let him pick you up. Let him take your brokenness and emptiness and use it for his glory. He's coming back, and he's going to use you in the meantime. God bless you, whoever you are. Receive that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Won't you pray for him, Brother Waleed?
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your goodness, Father. Whoever you are right now, if you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're in a backslidden condition, you've known the Lord and you've turned back to things you shouldn't have, just right now, pray with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and I confess to you I'm a sinner. I need you, Lord. I need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I just turn right now. I repent of my sins and I ask you to come live in my heart. Come fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me the man or woman of God you called me to be. Use me for your glory, Lord. Thank you for healing me spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Thank you, Father, for keeping me and not giving me what I deserve. And today, I renounce the world, I renounce my sin, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Come have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Brother Waleed, how can people find or contact you? Social media, website, what's the best route?
Thank you, Aaron. My first name is Waleed. I know it's not a common name. It's Waleed, W-A-L-E-E-D, and Z like zebra, A-R-O-U. That's .com, the website. And you can also find me on Instagram, all kind of platforms out there at Waleed Zeru. And we could just reach out if you'd like. I could send you a copy of our book if you'd like. And Lord bless you. Thank you for praying for us. And the Lord can use you too in this last day harvest. Just go tell others what he's done for you.
Yes. Hallelujah. Well, what a powerful morning. What a powerful morning. Powerful testimony. Thank you so much for sharing that, Brother Waleed. And such a blessing to the body of Christ. And we'll definitely hear from you soon, my brother.
Thank you for having me, Aaron. Love you, brother.
Love you guys.
Bye, Hannah. God bless you both.
All right. Well, what a powerful morning. And if that was you that prayed that prayer, we would love to chat with you and start you on your path as best as we possibly can. So you can call the station 270-257-2689. Or you can text me at 270-230-6337. If you accept the Lord, if you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we'd love to get some material in your hand, get your Bible in your hand if you don't have one. So please reach out to us and start this journey. It's a beautiful journey, and it's an amazing journey. He's an amazing God.